I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold-Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
Connie Willis here. Hello, everybody. We're going to meet the man of the next 3 hours or more, actually, Justin Humphrey. We're going to be talking to him. He is the Oklahoma State representative. You've heard him. You've heard about him recently on CNN, on all the different network nightly news all across the board. He's been everywhere. It's unbelievable. It's been a little over a month, in fact, that all this occurred. And he's still getting just as much press. Here he is on Coast, because I was definitely wanting to get everybody to have their chance to talk to him. I've heard you guys and what you've had to say. And I think he's already done a documentary, and he's got another one he's going to be working on, and a lot of things are happening from this. And so that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. Now, Justin is the state representative for House District 19. He earned a bachelor's degree in criminal justice with a minor in business administration from East Central University. He's got a background in law enforcement, business administration, and ranching. He was elected to serve as a state representative in 2017, serves as the chairman of public safety, so you guys will know everything about him. He serves as the chairman of public safety of the Oklahoma House of Representatives, and prior to running for that, he was owner-operator of Last Chance Supervision Services in 2010. It's a private company that contracted drug court supervision, private probation, and offered drug testing for the courts and private companies. Also, with the Cold Drug Court, I'm going to let you talk about that, Justin, as well as he worked for the Oklahoma Department of Corrections for 20 years before retiring. Special duties, DARE officer, probation officer, the CERT team, special response team. He has served as vice president of his local chapter of Fraternal Order of Police. He attended Arizona High Intensity Special Training, Correctional Officer Academy at Eastern University, Probation and Parole Academy, Oklahoma State University, CLEAT Law Enforcement Academy, Stillwater Technology Center, and special interest cattle rancher operating a cattle ranch in southeastern Oklahoma. We're going to have to show you some cattle mutilations. I bet you won't like that one. That one will turn you. Humphrey and his wife, Justin and his wife, Carla, have been married for 30 years. They have 3 sons, and they attend the Church of Rock in Lane, where Chairman Humphrey serves as a worship leader. So the reason we're all talking with him tonight is he recently filed legislation that would establish a Bigfoot hunting season, allowing the Oklahoma Wildlife Conservation Division to, it's basically, you know, in season, a hunting license and fees to trap Bigfoot. So that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. He, at the time when we were first talking about that, he was hoping to get at least $25,000. I believe he's got up to $1.1 million. The last thing that he wrote to me was this, and I'm going to read it as a quote here. I ran the Bigfoot bill in hopes of funding a state, because this is why I want to make sure I get out everything clean to you guys. This is why. Okay. Because it could get a little messy. I'm just ready for it. I'm just getting ready for it. So this is what he wrote to me last. I ran the Bigfoot bill in hopes of funding a state roads account. The account will be used to build roads into our lakes and parks. As with all bill language, it will be modified. The modifications will be to ensure Bigfoot is not killed, that trapping is humane and no person is injured, that if captured, he would be examined by a vet or other professional, and that he be released back into the habitat that he was captured in. Our bounty looks like it is up to $1.1 million, and we will need to clarify conditions of pay. I am in hopes that we can run everything through tourism and not have to pass it in the form of a bill. I am working with a movie company to promote a new release on a Bigfoot film. At present, it is all coming together nicely and looks like it may be possible to be completed at the same time the movie is released. So that being said, and knowing that we have a bunch of you still writing, texting, all that stuff, and I'm going to do my best to get these in, let's bring on, and thank you for being so patient there, Justin, our Oklahoma State Rep, Justin Humphrey. How are you? Thanks for hanging in and listening. How are you?
I'm doing great, Connie. And hey, a lot of people call me JJ. So whatever people want to call me, Justin, JJ, or some call me a whole lot worse. So I'll answer about anything.
You're going to get some of those tonight. So how are you?
You ready? That'll be all right. Hey, 30 years in law enforcement, I doubt they'll call me anything I ain't already been called. So no problem.
So now how did all this start? Were you driving around and, you know, you the roads were stinking. And so you said, man, hey, why don't we do a Bigfoot thing? I mean, how did that come about?
No, here's the deal. I live in a very remote area. We're one of the poorest districts in the state. If not, for a while, I know we were the poorest district. I think we still are. But anyways, very remote, very, spread out, really rural, rural area. We're got a lot of area that no one lives in, a lot of woods and mountainous area, hills type areas, rivers and lakes. And so that's a big draw in our part of the country. And so Bigfoot is a big deal down here. We have a festival. There's a town called Ho-Nubby here in Oklahoma, southeastern Oklahoma. And we already have a Bigfoot festival. Bigfoot's a big, big deal. Lots of spottings over there in that area. People who believe 100% that they've had an encounter with Bigfoot. And so it's you know, a lot of people over there that accept that. Those who don't are kind of open to, hey, okay, you know, that that there are people around there, lots of people who believe in that. And so, again, that's just part of our area, part of our culture. And so I've thought about it for a couple of years, doing something like this to promote our area. And so it turned out that I found an account to build these roads, which we much need into our lakes and our parks. And I thought I had that funded in another way. And then COVID happened. And plan to build roads like that died a COVID death. And so when I came back this year, it was obvious that I wasn't going to get any more money unless I come up with a creative way. And so this was my way to fund those roads. And so right now, your statement that you made was dead on what I said. And so I think that says it all of kind of what I started this for and what I hope to do. And so I hope that we can promote this, that it becomes a rich part of our heritage and where we're at, and that it is something that I hope it can be used to educate. I hope it could be used to protect. Right now, there's nothing that would protect Bigfoot. If I wanted to go in the woods and shoot Bigfoot today, there's nothing that would prohibit that. If I wanted to go out and put traps of any type, there's nothing that would prohibit that. So again, I recognize when I start putting a 1.1 million, and I believe it's up to 2 million now, 2.1, I think. And so when I start putting that kind of money on a bounty, I realize that's going to bring in more people, and I realize that's going to be probably a big thing that we'll talk about tonight, and I'm very open. And I do want to tell your listeners, anything that they say, you don't have to cuss me, but if you want to, I'm okay with that. I can deal with that. I might cuss you back, though, if you get too crazy. But here's the deal. We are going to put language, and I did a high school group the other day. So we have a group come in, and they're called Pages, and they come up to the Capitol, and they are learning about, you know, the government and how it works. And they're high school, and so one of the things they do is a mock bill. And so they put it on just like it goes. They get to sit on the floor and do all this while we're in committees, and they do that. And so they have to choose a bill, and guess which bill they choose? They choose Bigfoot. They come up and interview me, and they get on the floor and argue. And so they call me back and said, hey, do you want to hear this? We taped this. And we figure you don't want to hear it. And I said, no, I send it to me. I want to hear it. And they said, you'll really listen to this. And I said, yeah, I will really listen to this. And so I laugh. I'm watching a skunk come out. I wished I had. Anyways, I'm sitting outside my yard.
You have a skunk going by?
Oh, I got a skunk going right by my truck. And if I generally have my pistol on. I know a lot of people wouldn't, but I don't like these skunks up. He's on my back porch now. But anyway, let's get back to Bigfoot. But so I told this high school group, I said, absolutely, I will listen to it because that's how I learn what we need to put in this bill. I listen to what people say. So immediately when we come out with this, the big pushback was don't kill him. Immediately we come out and said, hey, that was never our intent. We will have to get language in. Then we hear somebody's going to get killed by trapping, and I said, okay, immediately we come back and said, we've got to put language in here that makes sure that we protect people, we protect Bigfoot, the whole nine yards, and so we're going to work on that. Now, again, if you know government, don't promise anything in government, okay? That's what I will say. I will never promise we may get this done, we may not get this done. But if we do, I'm trying to make sure everything that I have told you and everything that we're talking about, we're going to try to put that language. And they've given it to me to work with two lawyers to make sure we get that language there. So hopefully we can do that. Hopefully we can move forward. But, you know, again, we've got to make sure that the state doesn't have liability. So there's so many things that we have to make sure that we do before this thing can move forward and that we can actually do this. And so I'm hoping we can. I think it'll be a good deal. We really need our lakes and roads are just falling apart in our parks. And so this is what, again, I don't have any money, can't ever get money down here to fix stuff. And so this is my attempt to do that. So I'm open to hearing anything your listeners have to offer. Again, I will write things down. We're one of the ninth most cited spots, is my understanding, in here in Oklahoma in the world. So, again, we have lots of people who have had encounters. And so I think the documentaries that I'm doing, they come and interviewed me, and then they called and said, do you have anybody that might? And I was like, listen, man, I can give you name after name of solid, good people who have had encounters and who 100% believe they have had an encounter, saw Bigfoot. So, you know, there should be that should be included on their documentary, on people who really know they've had an encounter, believe they've had an encounter with Sasquatch, Bigfoot, whatever you want to call him or her.
Well, since you've gotten this out, I'm not even sure how you first said it, but what happened that sparked everybody in the world to come your way?
Well, I think the word hunting season really, and again, I kind of knew when I put that out there, you know, you've got to be a person who has thick skin, and you better be ready to go through the fire if you write, we're going to open a season on Bigfoot. I knew that. Now, did I know that it would go international? I thought that it would get nation attention. I didn't think that it would get the attention it has. I didn't think it would be international. But I'm okay with whatever, you know, the more attention it gets, the better for what I'm trying to do. But the thing about it is, we put that in there, knowing it would get that attention, working on changing some of that language. We're probably going to take out any kind of hunting reference and that kind of thing, because we do not want to make clear to all your listeners that there is never an attention. We would not. You know, they're rare. We're not going to do anything. In fact, if you want your $2.1 million, it would have to be a live capture.
Okay. So now, do you believe? What do you think? You think they're real? You think they're out there? And by the way, Oklahoma, the way I was introduced to it in the Bigfoot world was that there are more Bigfoot per capita than people. So yeah, you guys are known quite a bit. And I was there not too long ago with the show that I do. And one of them, it's called Project Creepy Hotspots. And so 3 to 5 days I was hanging out with one of our guys. He'll probably call in to talk to you. He kept me up with you. Farland Huff, his place there, he's a Bigfooter. And the Bigfoot he discusses to me all the time is invisible. While I was there and we were live, I had two different things happen to me that were exactly like what he had described before. And so I find that very interesting. And, you know, I'm into it myself. And there's a lot of just good people, honest people, just really enjoying this type of it's a passion. It's a relationship with them that you have. You know, there's other things people can get into. But when you get into the Bigfoot world, the one word that matches everything, if you have to say something about what is it like to be in the Bigfoot world, it would be relationship. If there was one word I had to pull out, it would be relationship, because people actually have relationships. I have seen men care more about going up and seeing the Bigfoot they always hang out with, their Sasquatch, their little family, their little friend, more than, you know, maybe their wife sometimes or their girlfriends. They give them more attention. They're closer. They feel free to do that. But what about you, Justin? Do you believe?
Yeah. Well, here's the deal, Connie. One thing that I look at as an investigator, so I spent 30 years doing investigations.
Yeah, right. You get it.
You look at. Yeah. I mean, that's my practically most of my adult life has been that. And so here's the deal. When you look at an investigation, things you're going to look at is consistency. So you get 10 people that saw the same thing. Their statements will not even, some of them won't even look like, it's like, were y'all standing at the same event? You know, how can y'all
it's true.
That? You know what I mean?
It's true.
But what
yep.
you do is you pick out the consistencies in their statement. So you look at that and you look for consistencies that you can kind of form, hey, what really happened here? And so one of the things that I see, and again, you look at generations, not a generation, not two generations. We're talking multiple throughout time, throughout, you know, multiple generations, multiple societies, multiple tribes, multiple people, and all of them seem to have some references or some sightings or you know, some reference to Bigfoot. So again, when you're saying that's one part of evidence, that's a pretty significant part of an evidence, I would say.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold-Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.